So Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the ark of the covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priest will carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priest carrying the ark of the covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is in flood all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priest who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the waters from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down the sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Amen.
Amen. What an exciting bit of scripture we find ourselves in this morning. Joshua chapter 3. Today we're talking about being a crossover people. We all face situations in life where we cross over. For me, it might be on the school run, crossing over a busy road with the kids. For some of you, it may be more serious. Maybe people cross over into a new mortgage deal. Or people cross over into a new relationship. Or cross over into a new job. And today we're considering a crossover people as found in the book of Joshua chapter 3. And in considering a crossover people, we need to consider God's vision for our lives. We need to consider God's vision that Israel had been holding on to for 40 years there in the desert, and for 400 years beyond that, in total. And God's vision is something that inspires us. It inspires us to step forward. But there's something about God's vision which we don't always take note of. And that is, there comes a point where a crossover needs to happen. And it's usually at that point where excitement dissipates. And things begin to get very worrying. And things begin to get very serious. And it's at those points when we are at, or when we are on the bank of the Jordan, as it were, that we even doubt whether or not we heard God correctly. Or whether indeed did we actually hear God in the first place. And your faith becomes daunted. And we enter into sometimes a crisis of faith. You don't have to put your hands up, but I'm sure most of us have been there at some stage in our lives. And maybe you are there this morning. Well, the good news is this. God knows about it when our faith gets daunted. And I think God sometimes orchestrates it and orchestrates our lives so that we get into a place where our faith is more challenging. I think God may actually want it that way. Think back to Moses and under his leadership when they sent in the 12 spies. God wanted them to see the bounty, but he also wanted them to see the difficulty. God wanted the spies to see the blessings, but he also wanted them to see the dangers. And you know what, folks? I believe God wanted them to experience a bit of uncertainty when it came to following him. He could have made it easy for them. He could have made victory clear and certain. But he leaves it uncertain. And the only thing that makes it certain is following God step by step. The only thing that makes it certain is seeing the evidence of faith in action. The only thing that made it certain for them was the miraculous hand of God upon their lives. In the flesh, it could never be certain. That's why they had to go through ceremonial things on the crossing, before the crossing. Because in the flesh, it could never be certain. And I submit to you this morning, we in our faith get to a place of huge uncertainty. And you ask yourself, can I do this? Is God really with me? What's going to happen to me if I do what God wants me to do? There are a lot of giants in the land. And we get this sense of uncertainty. So what does God do is the question I have for you. What does God do when he wants to grow our faith? And faith is a little bit like a muscle. You've got to use it for it to become stronger. I used to go to gym quite a lot. Doesn't look like it now. Before my Bucky's Hill days. And if I didn't keep up with it, the flab reappeared uninvited. And faith's a bit like that. If we don't keep up with it, the flab appears uninvited. So what does God do? He brings us into a season of uncertainty. A season on the bank of the Jordan. I believe that the chaos of uncertainty is the soil of faith. And that's exactly where we find ourselves this morning. We find ourselves in the soil of faith. To some people, their oxygen, their soil, is negativity. They feed on negativity. They need the soil, the ingredients in the soil of negativity, the oxygen in negativity to carry on. For people of God, however, our oxygen, our soil, is faith. And this is exactly where we find ourselves. The spies under Joshua had returned with a favorable report, and a favorable report had been received. Joshua orders the Israelites to set out from Shittim to the edge of the Jordan and to wait for further instructions. And after the people arrive there, the instructions are given over a three-day period. Now, some commentators on this three-day period make a big song and dance out of the three-day period. And one of the reasons why they make a big song and dance out of the three-day period is this. It's because for 40 years, they've been preparing for this. In a way. Now they're given just 3 days. Think of it. Not another 40 years, not another 40 days. Let's make it easy. Let's meet for 40 days and deliberate and pontificate and procrastinate. And you carry on. 3 days. That's it. Like it or leave it. Shape up or ship out. 3 days. They go from being wilderness wanderers, and in 3 days' time, they become the kind of people God had designed them to be. What a seismic shift in the way of living. And at the end of this 3 day period, the 12 Levitical priests carry the Ark of the Covenant into the Jordan River. They stand in the middle of the river, where the waters have stopped, leaving the riverbed dry. And it is interesting to note that the people sanctified themselves in preparation, and that's a whole sermon in itself. But it's just interesting to note they sanctified themselves in preparation to cross over. And God restates his promise to be with them, and God restates his promise that he is going to give them the land. And while the 12 priests hold the ark up high in the middle of the Jordan, the water piled up on the north side, the Israelites pass over into Canaan, the promised land. 12 ceremonial rocks are piled in the middle of the Jordan before the waters return, and 12 more rocks are carried to the west bank for a memorial ceremony at Gilgal. Now the Israelites are on the west bank. The priests carry the ark and join them, and the waters sweep back into the riverbed, flooding their way several miles southward into the Dead Sea. And within this account that I've relayed to you, the account that was read to you this morning, there's a very important theological observation. And the observation is this, and I've already alluded to it this morning. The observation deals with the kind of people God wanted the Israelites to be. And also the kind of people that God yearns for us to be. The sovereign God who can part the waters is the God who called Israel then, and he calls us today to be a crossover people. If you could go to my scriptures up there, please. Notice verse 4. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. This is what we call crossover times. And everyone has these crossover times in their lives. Sometimes our crossover times take place on the mountaintops. And it's glorious. And it's wonderful. And we say, more of it, Lord. Please give me more. At other times, our crossover times take place in the valleys. And we say, Lord, I can't bear this anymore. When are you going to get me out of this? Cross me over. But a crossover time is a time of transition. We're never meant to camp in the crossover. They weren't meant to camp in the Jordan. Isn't that great news? A crossover time is full of potential, but it's also fraught with disaster. It's where the muscle of faith kicks in. And the crossover times, this crossover time was unfamiliar to the people of Israel, as pointed out in verse 4. Since you have never been this way before. And we know that our God is an unchanging God. He's the same, the Bible tells us, yesterday, today, and forever. Yet in his unchanging nature, causes us to change. Because he's not going to change. His unchanging nature brings us into places where we need to cross over. Into places in faith, in Christ, we've never been before. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that scary? Well, if you find it exciting, praise the Lord. If you find it scary, equally, praise the Lord. These were exciting times. They were also traumatic times for the people of Israel. Having spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness known as the Sinai Peninsula. Now, interestingly, an astronaut who had been on the moon and also in the Sinai Peninsula reckoned that the place on Earth which was closest to the moon was the Sinai Peninsula. Now, you may find that a very negative appraisal. Surely we get nomads who know where to find the oases and where to find the springs. But when you really think of it, and my point for putting that illustration in is this. They got comfortable in wandering. They knew how to wander. They become professional at it. They say it takes 6 weeks or 40 days to form or break a habit. Well, they had 40 years to form a habit of being comfortable in the relationship with Christ or with God. 40 years of doing the same thing every day. Eating the same manna from heaven. Imagine eating the same Rice Krispies every morning for 40 years. So nice, there's a degree of comfort. You don't have to wonder, well, is my eggs free range this morning or not? 40 years. And that's the point. That they were used to where they were, even though it wasn't where they were meant to be. That they were used to where they were. They loved, I won't say they loved it, but they got used to it, even though it was a desolate place. It reminds me of when I moved from Cape Town to Bloemfontein in my mid-20s. They say you cry twice when you go to Bloemfontein. When you arrive, and when you leave. So the Israelites were at a crossover point in their lives. Which brings me to the next slide. They were at an Orbar moment. Now, what's an Orbar moment? Orbar is a Hebrew word. So you can at least leave here this morning being one Hebrew word richer. Isn't that fantastic? Can we all say Orbar? It's like it's got a W in it somewhere. Orbar. Okay. Can you imagine them getting to the banks of the Jordan and this bunch of thousands of Jews? Orbar moment. Can you see it? And God brings us to those Orbar moments in our lives. Interestingly, this Hebrew word, Orbar, is repeated 21 times in Joshua 3 verse 1, where we are this morning, all the way to Joshua 5 verse 1. And it's a telling verb, because it's a verb of a decisive nature. There's no getting out of it. It's a decisive nature. It's a decisive moment in history. And this is the idea that this Orbar word carries. It's decisive. It's a moment in history. It's a moment unlike any moment before. It's not a repeat. Now you say, just hang on a moment. I sense a repeat here, you may be saying. Many years earlier, didn't another generation of Israelites who had to die out in the wilderness, but didn't that generation who died out cross the Red Sea? Hadn't they had the Orbar moment before? And on a casual reading, we would be forgiven to think so. But actually not. Because the crossing of the Red Sea had a different Hebrew word to Orbar. It didn't mean a decisive moment. It didn't mean a moment in history like never before. It didn't mean a distinguishing moment. In fact, if you dig deeper into the word Orbar, it actually means a moment that will penetrate your life. Remind you of anything else in our world that penetrates our lives? The word of God? That was the Jordan crossing. The Red Sea crossing under Moses simply meant to walk or to journey. We've all been on a walk. We've all been on a journey. You can be non-committal on a journey, can't you? Oh, I'll just go along for the ride. I'll look at the scenery. I don't have to put the petrol in the car. I'm just there. Just a passenger. I'll be a backseat driver. I'll tell them when to put the brake on. I'll tell them the indicator should be on for longer. Watch out for the pedestrian. That's the Red Sea crossing. A journey. I'll just follow. I'll watch from the side. I don't really have to be with it. Orbar. A decisive moment where things are going to penetrate our lives and it's never going to be the same again. And this helps us understand the enormity of the moment of crossing over the Jordan. Our lives have Orbar times, may I suggest to you this morning. Those crossing over experiences which are frightening and exhilarating. This is a message I'm really excited to preach about. Because I get to encourage us here at BHBC this morning and those listening in on the podcast, and hello to you as well. We love our podcast listeners as well, don't we? Or one person does. Because I get to encourage us. I get to stretch us. God gets to stretch us. God gets to encourage us to be an Orbar people. Not just to set out in our daily routine, but to face in Jesus' name those dangerous moments in our lives. Times of new beginnings, crossover times where you can only get to through faith, because it's all about the land of faith. The crossing over into Canaan was a brand new experience. Let me say this to you as well. The land of Canaan was not some type of transcendental utopia where fairies floated around and everything was going to be okay. It wasn't a bit of heaven on earth. But it was a lot better than where they had been, because they were entering in. God's purposes for their lives as a nation was penetrating them. Are you with me so far this morning? It is a bit better than the podcast response. Canaan represented a vast improvement over the past 400 years, but it was not perfect. They had to work it. And we've got to work our faith sometimes. Faith without works is dead. In the wilderness, they followed the cloud. The manna rained down. In the promised land, there were giants to conquer. There was a city to conquer. This must have been a terrifying experience. And when does God bring them to the Jordan River? During the flood season. Don't you love the Lord's sense of humor? Lord, we've got to cross the Jordan. Surely you could have made it easy for us. These weren't a boat building people. That was Noah. They didn't have it in their resources to cross over. The amazing thing about the Jordan was that it's not really a very big river when you compare it to the big rivers of the world. And that outside of this spring tide season, when it wasn't affected by the spring tide and it wasn't affected by the melting snow of the Lebanon mountains, it was a very easy river to cross. But there was a mindset for 40 years that got to cross that river. And maybe we've got a bit of a mindset sometimes. It's easier to wander because there's a river to cross. And maybe that river in the natural is easier than you think it is. But it's still going to take a miracle to cross, because that's just the way God designs these things. And so, yeah, they are. They stand shuddering at the edge of the Jordan, knowing that in front of them are rushing waters, the fortress city of Jericho, chariots of iron, and even giants. Sound like a holiday destination? The next time you go visit your local travel agent and say, well, we've got a place where there's a fortress city, you've got to get through that and defeat that before you can have your holiday. There are chariots of iron and there are giants that could end up eating you. I don't know whether those giants back then were cannibals or not, but I just threw that in for effect. It seems like some of you need a bit of effect this morning. And sometimes leaders tend to be conservative. Sometimes church leaders tend to be conservative. Sometimes church people tend to be conservative. And we'd rather sit comfortable rather than take a risk. I believe God wants to break through our constitutional conservatism and empower us to become an all-bar people, willing to grow, willing to expand, willing to allow God to clean us out, to take us into new territory, to inherit the future He has for us. We may need God to break through in all bar moments of our lives. Not just a journey, but a decisive, historic moment, unlike anything that has gone behind us. Maybe we need all bar moments in our lives. May I suggest a few? You've probably got a list running through in your head, but just off the top of my head, all bar moments could be a crossover in our worship, a crossover in our faith, an all bar moment in our unity as a church, an all bar moment in our lifestyle, a crossover in our terms of vision and purpose as a church, in our identity in Christ, seeing yourself the way Jesus sees you, and not how everybody else sees you. In our relationship with Christ, we may need a crossover moment to go from head knowledge to heart knowledge, to living the life, to obeying the call, to being radical for Jesus. Now, radical and religion aren't two words that sit comfortably in the 21st century. And the amazing thing about Jesus' ministry, Jesus was not rebellious, because God never blesses rebellion. In fact, rebellion, the Bible tells us, is the same as witchcraft. So put that in your Sunday sandwich. Jesus was not rebellious. He was a revolutionary. He was a revolutionary. His message is revolutionary. His message is to go the extra mile. Don't only give a cup of cold water, give your coat as well. Turn the other cheek. Lay down your life. How awesome is that? Those are all bar moments. Crossing over moments. Maybe we need a all-bar moment in our understanding of who the Holy Spirit is. He's not an it. He's not a mystical force. He's a person of the Godhead who draws us closer to Jesus and brings the Word of God, the Bible, alive to us. Wow. Maybe we need an all-bar moment in experiencing the love of God. Next slide. I want you to think of crossover times in your life. Maybe you've got childhood memories of a crossover time. Maybe a teenage decision you made for the Lord or you didn't make for the Lord, which was a crossover time. Maybe it's which sixth form you should have gone to or should be going to, or which college or uni, what career path to follow, who should I marry, should you marry? Then comes settling down, an all-bar moment for some, settling down. Then a crisis may come, an all-bar moment, a painful divorce, a financial failure, or a financial success that thrusts you into a totally new life and a new way of serving the Lord and being a blessing. Think about how you handle a crossover experience and the fear of the known, or the fear of the unknown that it brings. I'm going to give you a moment just to think about how you deal with crossover experiences and the fear that it can bring. Let's do that now. Think about how you handle crossover experiences and the fear that it can bring. Now think about what life would look like if you truly trust the Lord. Reading earlier today about Peter walking on the water. When his eyes were focused on Christ, he walked on the water. Sometimes you've got to do it afraid in faith. I stand up to preach a word like this, it's way bigger than me. Way bigger than this church. I do it afraid in faith that the Lord will perform, that the Lord will perform. Let's carry on. Next slide. Some people create an artificial crossover time in their lives. They create something God never created for them. It may be a midlife crisis. At the age 40 or 50, when I turned 40, I worked for the church, as I do now, so I wasn't in the privileged position of being able to go through a midlife crisis and buy a sports car. Maybe following the Lord keeps us grounded. But we begin to think of old age. He has an all-bar thought, a crossing over thought. What if I suggest to you that there's no such thing as old age? Try tell that to people in our culture and they'll laugh at you. The Bible doesn't contain a theology of retirement. You and I have the privilege of looking into the mirror every morning and seeing not a young person, not an old person, but a person made in the image of God who is alive on planet Earth today with all of our moments in front of them. You will never be more alive than what you are today. That's the theology of the Bible. Crossover people, all of our people, live every day to its fullness. We don't get locked into our age. You're never too young to do something for the Lord. You're never too old to do something for the Lord. 1 Timothy 4 verse 12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Instead, be an example to the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. So what should church look like? Not sexist, not ageist, not elitist, but a people who have crossed over. Hallelujah. You don't say it, I will. You see, when you minister with the all-bar moment in mind, you don't go along for the ride. You help people cross over. When you teach Sunday school with an all-bar moment in mind, you don't just go through the material provided by Scripture Union and its wonderful material, yes. But you don't just go on that journey. You take those kids on an all-bar moment, you help them cross over in places of their lives closer to Jesus. When in the worship team, you don't just sing and play our instruments. We sing prophetically, take me deeper. When my faith is without borders, you're helping people enter all of our moments in their lives. When you project the words of songs and scripture on the screen, not just there on a journey, you're helping people cross over. When you shake the person's hand on the door, give them a hug, you're helping them cross over. Wow. This isn't crossing the Red Sea. This is crossing the Jordan. It's decisive. It's historic. Death itself is an all-bar moment. I think I've got a slide that says that. Thank you. For believers, Christ has assured us that he has taken the sting out of death. Hallelujah. The victory is Christ's. Christ walks with us through that Jordan. And he helps us cross over to be with the Father forever. Another all-bar moment is when we open our lives to Jesus. In Christ, we put our hope. We repent. 180 degree turn. We were going this way. My life was all about me, 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 me. And I hear the call of the Lord. And I turn and I go, it's you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. Just like Peter walking on the water. I'm no longer going my way. I'm going God's way. And you know what? Some of us, after serving the Lord for many days, weeks, months, years, create our own spiritual wilderness. And God wants to call us out of the wilderness, from the banks of the Jordan, across into the great promises that he has for us. E. John Hamblin, in his book titled Inheriting the Land, put it this way. The verb orbar implies crossing a boundary, physical, political, to enter a covenant. While walking through the waters of the Red Sea was both an escape and liberation, crossing over the Jordan meant entering a new kind of life in the Promised Land. The physical boundary formed by the deep rift of the Jordan Valley and river had to be crossed. More than that, the crossing marked a decisive transition which involved inheriting, acquiring tenancy rights, and finding rest. When we enter the Lord, we acquire, we inherit what He has for us, but we also enter rest. Paul said, we press on towards the goal. We press on. But there's no room for striving in our Christian walk. Many Christians pray, Lord, I strive for this. We don't strive. We enter a rest and we serve Him and we go through the all of our moments of life. Look, I've got to bring this into a land. How am I going to do this? Yes, I'll go to the next slide. I believe our church, Bakersfield Baptist Church, is at the bank of the Jordan River. And we need to be ready to all fall. It's a decisive moment. It's a historic moment. A moment like never before. For 40 years they dreamed about it, the children of Israel. They had fears. And like I said earlier, God brought them to the banks of the Jordan intentionally when the river was swollen by spring rains and the mountain snow of the Lebanon mountains. They were a boatless people. It would have been impossible to cross. To cross was unthinkable, rationally, humanly speaking. It is at this moment, the moment of impossibility, that becomes the moment in which God breaks through with a miracle. And we become privileged to be a crossover. What are we crossoving? What do we cross over to? A life of faith. A life of trust. A life of openness to Jesus, the Holy Spirit. The flow of the Spirit of God in our lives. The impact, the penetrating impact of the Bible. The love of God. We cross over to becoming the people of God that God has designed us to become. Just that's what the Israelites crossed over to. They crossed over to becoming the people He had called them to be. Can I invite each and every single one of us here this morning to cross over to being the person God has called you to be? Will there be problems in the promised land? Of course. But our focus is not the giant. Our focus is Jesus. Just like Peter's focus, when it was the waves consumed him. When the focus was the giants, the previous spies under Moses, when the focus was the giants consumed them in their minds. They thought they were locusts. We look like grasshoppers to them, they said. I don't know about you, but God certainly hasn't made me to be a grasshopper. You know, I may come from Africa, but I'm no grasshopper. Maybe you've got a bit of a grasshopper mentality. God hasn't made you a grasshopper. He's made you a child of God. Cross over into the image that God has for you. Let us pray. In a moment, I'd like to invite the worship team up to the bridge of oceans. But before we do that, first of all, two prayers. First of all, for Christians, yeah, we say, I want to cross over. I'll make a decisive moment today. I want to cross over into unity of the body. I want to cross over into Jesus. Cross over into following Him. Not doing things my way, but doing things God's way. A repented lifestyle. A Spirit-filled lifestyle. Not just going along for the journey, but allowing God to penetrate our lives. If you're a Christian, you just tell God that right now. help me cross over into your ways, your things, your vision, your purposes, your heart, your plans, your comfort, your peace. And I do believe there's someone here this morning who you're holding on to things that just don't bring you peace in your life. And this is your crossover moment to give those things to Jesus. To leave them on the east bank and to cross over to the west. Cross over in terms of forgiveness. Come on, we can't go through life with unforgiveness in our spirit. It's a killer. Cross over in terms of the chip on our shoulder. To grate you to nothing. Give it to God. It's not worth it. Christian, this is God's call to you. Cross. The next prayer is this. It's what I preached on earlier. It's about the relationship with Jesus, repenting. And this is the prayer. If you've wandered away from the Lord, it's like you're going through your own mini wilderness and wanderings in a major way. He's calling you. Cross over. Come back home to Jesus. If you've never done this before, He's calling you. Saying, come on. It's about faith and trust and the love of God. So that's you this morning. I invite you to pray a prayer after me. And once you come to the end of the prayer, if everybody could keep their eyes closed and their heads bowed, it'll really be appreciated. Thank you. Pray this prayer. Say, dear Jesus, you're calling me to cross over this morning. Crossing over from my way of life to your way of life. Jesus, I believe in you. Forgive me a sinner. I believe you died on the cross and rose again from the dead for me. And today I receive you as my Savior. Please forgive me of my sin. And I ask that I will now be a child of God. While every eye is closed and head is bowed, if you prayed that prayer, whether it was a recommitment, and you've prayed it before, or it's the first time, I'd like to pray for you during the week. I'm not going to embarrass you, I'm not going to call you up front, but there's something as well about making a public declaration. So while every eyes closed and head is bowed, we need to be brave enough and just slip up your hand and say, I prayed the prayer. God bless you. Anybody else this morning? God bless you. God bless you. Lord, you've seen the three hands go up this morning. You are working in these people's lives. I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to fill them, to guide them, and help them cross over in you. Hedge them around in your love. Hedge them in your protection. And help them become everything you've called them to become. This is exciting. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name.